Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Gabriel Castillo, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Gabriel Castillo. He's written a book, The Power of the Rosary. This is the second show we're doing with him. We're discussing the book, and tonight we focus more on maybe tips and techniques of how to pray the rosary. You may have seen him on his YouTube channel, Gabi After Hours. He's also a youth minister in Texas, so it's a good show. He has a lot of rich things that'll bless our life we're going to talk about tonight. We're now going to Reflection with Gabriel Castillo.
One of the greatest insights that I've ever received on Marian devotion was at the birth of my fourth child. The first three, I was dazed and confused. I wasn't thinking spiritually. But with the birth of my fourth child, it was a C-section. My wife had her stomach cut open. I looked over the curtain, was like shocked at what I saw. And I was overwhelmed with emotion when my wife received the baby. And she just marveled at this child. She consumed this child with her eyes. And it struck me that this is how the Virgin Mary looks at every single one of us at every moment. She never takes her eyes off of us. And not only is she full of love, but she's the queen of heaven and earth. And she would move heaven and earth in order to help us. But we have to call upon her.
Gabriel Castillo, welcome back to Life on the Rock.
Thanks for having me back.
It's our second show with you. And this show, we promise to talk more about how to pray the rosary and maybe tips. Some people might say it's tedious or boring or something.
And
I heard somebody, one of the saints said this, that it was, you know, so simple a child could say it.
Yes.
And yet there's also this great depth because you're meditating upon the mysteries of our Lord's life.
Yes.
But, and two, an aspect I like to think of it, I'll just quickly tell this story. You know, we would pray the rosary as a community, as a group, and then we stopped praying as a group. We still prayed individually for a while, and then we came back and started the group thing again. And we used to pray it after Mass, but not all our priests were at Mass, right? So we did it in the afternoon. But I found that the second time around, it was so much, to me, I just felt the power of it, to pray in a group. I joke, I might be distracted, but I count on Brother Leo paying attention.
I love it.
Yeah, we believe together.
That's right.
We believe, right?
And it's truly a heavenly prayer because it can be prayed alone. It can be prayed by spiritual giants like Alfonso Sigouri, Teresa of Avila. It can be prayed by little children like Francisco and Jacinta. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect way in a marriage to pray together. For spouses, it can be a little awkward to say, okay, let me lead you in prayer. Like, how do we pray with one another? Yeah. But in the rosary, it's like, you say the first half, I'll say the second half.
Right.
And together we have a beautiful prayer.
Right.
You can pray it with your children. You can pray it with your spouses. It's just, it's of divine origin that it checks off so many boxes.
You can pray it driving on your way to work and stuff. And I'll say this too, because we're going to talk about the mental prayer aspect of it. But too, there's some things, a lot of times I think when I'm praying the rosary, I'm kind of just focused maybe on just praying with Mary or she's there with me interceding. It's just a way that I feel close to her when I pray the rosary. And I feel a peace and a confidence in things. One of the promises to St. Isla de la Roche is the surest sign of predestination, like this devotion to her. Because we're praying for the hour of our death.
Yes,
right?
It's genius. It's so genius.
and that's not a grace we could merit. We can't merit final perseverance, Thomas said that. So we need to pray and ask for that gift, and we do that with every Hail Mary. So it is, I don't know, it's like it has a way of focusing me on what's the essentials.
The essentials, exactly. And actually that little part you pointed out about pray for me now at the hour of my death should be a great consolation to parents, especially if their children have left the faith.
Right.
So if you've prayed,
the rosary with your child since the age of seven until they're 17, 10 years, and you, even if they prayed it with resentment, that would have been 200,000 times that they said, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. And even if they've left the church, and in my experience, those who prayed the family rosary, if they leave the church, they always come back.
Yeah.
But even if they left the church at the hour of their death, they ask the Mother of God to pray for them 200,000 times, all those graces are going to come upon them. And so as a parent, that's a great consolation to me that I did the best I could. Now they're in the hands of the Mother of God. And a lot of times families will ask me, how do I, you know, reach my children who are fallen away? Well, when do they come and visit you? Well, at Thanksgiving and Christmas. As part of your Thanksgiving prayer before your meal, just throw in a Hail Mary. And if they pray it, pray for me now and at the hour of my death, that is an open door, legally giving permission to the Mother of God to intercede for them, which is very powerful and should not be understated.
As a priest, and we see that, I mean, powerful things happen at the end of life. And and there's definitely, oftentimes, I've seen like there's grace present there. Because you think about it, sometimes we have crazy obstacles and we have pride going on and then like death and stuff, and just grace has a way of breaking through that. If I could just, Faustina talks about the diary, you know, just the least movement to my mercy, you know, I'll be there, right? So I love that thought of her, especially in her.
And Our Lady is cunning. She's so cunning. She can allow an overwhelming fear to envelop us simply so that we'll be inspired to cry out for help.
John Paul, in his encyclical on the Rosary, he talks about methods, and he suggests, you know, we could have like an icon or an image, a picture of Our Lady. We could read a scripture passage about the mystery, or even like stuff from the catechism. I know you talked a lot about like imaginative prayer. I feel like I'm one of those guys that doesn't have a strong imagination at that point. I feel like it helps me just to think of some concepts about
truths.
Truths about this mystery that kind of focus me.
But you hit the nail on the head, because something has to happen in the intellect in order for my heart to be moved. So for many, if you can use your imagination to behold the mystery as if you were present, because if you think about how the Virgin Mary meditated on the life of Christ, when she thought of the Passion, she visualized it as a person who was present. She could see him agonizing. She could see him gasping for air. That's great if you can do that, because then that puts in your heart the reality, and so it's easier to make strong resolutions. But if you can't do that, simply thinking of some truth. So you're doing the wedding feast of Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine through Mary's intercession. Okay, well, jars of water had to be filled. Lord, how can I fill these jars of water? I need a miracle in my life. And so just thinking about any aspect of the gospel that is spirit-filled. The life of Christ is the most fertile place to encounter him. So just meditating, reflecting upon some truth, reflecting upon some image. When people who want to try to spark their imagination, I encourage people to think about what they've seen before. So when I do the third joyful mystery, the birth of the child Jesus in Bethlehem, I imagine what my child looks like and just pretend like that child is Jesus, and like marvel at the fact that the creator of the universe became an infant. And then of course I pour my heart out asking for all the intentions that I have. I need money, little baby Jesus, please. What do you know about money? You're a baby.
For me, I said, like, thinking some of the truths there, and like the wedding feast of Cana, that I always like to think about that she's attentive to the needs of the couple. So like in a very feminine dimension, sees this embarrassing situation. So she doesn't miss anything about our life, right?
So I recommend also to make your intention. So Alfonso Liguori says that petition is very important when you're doing mental prayer, imaginative, even if you're just analyzing a circumstance like you mentioned, that to try and tie your petition to the mystery. So for example, if you're praying the Annunciation, just as the angel Gabriel announced to you, Blessed Mother, I ask that you send an angel to my son to enlighten his intellect and have a conversion of faith, so that you're reflecting on the gospel and you're engaging your petition with the actual spiritual truth that's happening. Or right. Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth, Blessed Mother, speak to my husband just like you spoke to Elizabeth, that the Holy Spirit might fill him and his soul will be sanctified. So I find that very, very helpful.
Yeah, and I know some of the kind of the classic rosary booklets will have particular mysteries or virtues for each mystery. Yeah. And but yeah, we don't have to go by that necessarily, but it, yeah, I think of like humility, you know, the Annunciation, you know, let it be done, just this full surrender.
Yeah.
You know, we all need to have a deeper surrender in life.
Yes.
And the Visitation, just her generosity, again, her humility to go and serve. As Therese says, she doesn't ascend to the throne of heaven as Queen Mother.
Right.
She goes as a servant.
That's right.
This 90-mile journey over the hill country, you know, the big change in elevation there at the end. Yeah, there's these beautiful virtues that she typifies because she's the model disciple. And we were even talking earlier, maybe we'll go to a quick break. We'll come back and continue to talk about different methods on how to pray the rosary. We were talking earlier too, maybe it could be done as a group, but maybe just even by yourself, it might be more easier. But you could have like a little line from scripture for every Hail Mary, or to put a word maybe in the middle of the Hail Mary with the natural break, you know, that happens. Talk about that. Have you done that?
Yeah, so Louis de Montfort has a method of inserting the name of the mystery into the middle of the Hail Mary. So if you were praying the wedding feast of Cana, he didn't have that mystery, but if you were praying that, you'd say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, who turned water into wine. Holy Mary, and then you could continue it. And that's very beneficial for people who forget what mystery they're on.
Yeah.
So those methods work.
Yeah, it just kind of brings you back to...
Really, there's a lot of freedom in praying the rosary. I encourage people to focus on the mystery for 10 to 20 seconds before beginning the Our Father and Hail Mary, and not pay so much attention to the Hail Mary, but try to keep on that reflection.
Yeah.
But there's some days where you're going to be dry and your mind doesn't work, or you had a tragedy in your family, and it's a miracle that you're even going through the vocal prayers. Mm-hmm. So Our Lady isn't an accountant, and she isn't going to say, well, that wasn't good enough. You try your best, and sometimes your best isn't very good.
Right.
Yeah.
And we know that John Paul II added luminous mysteries, and you talk about how there's even a tradition of just having whole new mysteries we can use.
Yes. Tell Saint Dominic received the 15, the joyful, the sorrowful, the glorious. Blessed Alan, who was renewing the devotion after it died out, he was really focused on making sure that there were 150 prayers being said, that the number was important for him to tie it to the Psalter. Mm-hmm. But what wasn't as important was a strict adherence to a particular mystery. He would teach that all of the life of Christ is fruitful for growth and holiness. And so the luminous mysteries can be found as early as the 15th century. And the luminous mysteries, for me, are absolutely essential for renewal in the church today. So John Paul II was a mystic, and I don't believe that he did it very lightly, because he knew that this would be a disruptor. But if you think about what the mysteries focus on, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, we are experiencing a crisis in the church of a bunch of baptized unbelievers. The wedding feast of Cana, we have a crisis for the sacrament of holy matrimony and marriage between one man and one woman, and also Marian devotion being attacked by our Protestant brothers and sisters. The proclamation of the kingdom emphasizes Jesus's public ministry of preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand, hell is real, repent and believe in the gospel. So it's kind of like a renewal. When you, a grace remembered is a grace renewed, is what the saying is. And so the transfiguration, we have a lot of new age philosophies that say that Jesus was just another guru, Jesus was just another philosopher. And here you have somebody being transfigured, dazzling white. That doesn't look like a guru to me. Gurus don't levitate and turn dazzling white.
Right.
So that is a divine person.
Yeah.
And then finally, of course, the loss of faith and the real presence and the crisis in the priesthood. So by meditating upon these mysteries, you're unleashing the original power of the gospel on a regular basis. So if you want Eucharistic renewal, you have to have a frequent revisitation of Christ's institution of the Eucharist. So to me, they're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, the proclamation of the kingdom of God, mystery there, you know, we're in a new evangelization, we're in a new call that everyone's involved, not just the ordained, to proclaim that gospel. And so we can bring Mary into this, right?
That's right.
We get serious.
And what I have found in proclaiming the rosary is that when people simply give witness to what Our Lady has done in their life, other people who are lacking or are going through a time of desolation, they're looking for hope. And so they've tried what the world has to offer, and then here you, on your social media, you make a little post, this happened to me, you share with a coworker who's going through something, well, when I was in your circumstance, I prayed the rosary and I found a lot of peace and consolation. When people are suffering, that is the time to reach out to them, because they're open and they're desperate.
Right. And you remind us, too, that praying the rosary saves countless souls.
Yes, absolutely.
And I immediately thought of the older women in the church who are so often so faithful to the rosary. You know, after Mass, before Mass, you see people praying. Talk about that. You're a youth minister.
Yes.
And do you see that happening?
100%. So the youth are in a very serious time right now. There's a statistic that says that 92% of men and 61% of women look at pornography on a regular basis. Drug use is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. Families are being broken apart on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And so in my high school youth ministry, when I encounter a youth who is an addict of something, whether that's drugs, pornography, alcohol, I encourage them to try, as a challenge for 9 days, try praying all of the mysteries in one day. The Apostles' Creed, just do that once. Mm-hmm. And then they find that once they do this, many of them, they continue because they don't fall back into mortal sin. Mm-hmm. Some of them, they'll go 1 week and then they'll commit a mortal sin. Then it'll be like 1 month, then it'll be 6 months, then it'll be a year. And it's a gradual progression. But some of them, they say, I feel strength. I feel like a special protection. Yeah. That's not for everybody. I really encourage people to try it if they are living in mortal sin. But then specifically, I have seen parents who have had conversions later in life who live with a lot of regret. And they say, I converted later. I didn't know. I raised my children. I didn't raise them as good as I would have if I knew better. Mm-hmm. And in every circumstance I have seen where a parent takes on the rosary kind of as a lifestyle, even for just a season, like a 54-day novena or Lent or Advent, major knots are undone. So I like to joke that Mary is the undoer of knots, but also the destroyer of plots. So our enemy does not sleep. He watches us. He lays little traps for us. But when we go with Our Lady, Our Lady allows his plots to be for our greater glory. Temptations overcome. And I have just seen massive conversions because of the rosary. We have a great renewal happening, at least in my parish and in my town. And everybody credits it to Our Lady and the power of the Holy Rosary. She is our hope for the hopeless. The promises that were made to Blessed Alan were under the condition of somebody praying the rosary as all of the mysteries. So if you look through the 15 mysteries of Blessed Alan and say, I really need help to destroy vice, because that's one of his promises, then you might want to consider trying all of the mysteries for a season. But again, not in a scrupulous way, but viewing your day as I want to live in the Gospels, I want to visualize the life of Christ, not necessarily, like if you're praying the rosary, some women tell me, it took me an hour to pray the rosary. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Well, I forgot what mystery was on. I didn't remember what beat. It matters, but it doesn't matter that much. If you've been praying for 2 minutes and you've been trying to meditate and you look at your finger and you're on the last Hail Mary and you don't remember saying a single one, backtrack three and then move on. Like, we don't got all day for this. The goal isn't saying a specific number of Hail Marys. It's encountering Christ to the best of our ability.
And to pray in groups, we mentioned that
before. Oh, for sure. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's very powerful. And especially when the family prays together.
Yeah.
There have been many, many stories of just souls being saved through the prayers of a family member. I know when I had my conversion and I got a job teaching at a local parish and I went into the Adoration Chapel and I saw the old ladies praying the rosary, mm-hmm. I just had a deep understanding that I was only in that chapel because of the prayers of these women. Because mm-hmm. nobody else in my life was praying. Mm-hmm. But I know that these women in this chapel were praying for, you know, vocations, they're praying for renewal in the youth. Yeah. And I just had a deep understanding, I'm here because of them. Right. And how many times do we see somebody who had a conversion and then we ask them, it's like, well, it must have been my grandmother. My grandmother was a big prayer warrior. Like you just yeah. have this sense yeah. that it was yeah. the prayers of somebody else yeah. that yeah. that obtained the conversion.
Right.
And that's a great consolation that conversions don't happen because you say the right thing or do the right thing. Conversion yeah. is a grace yeah. and grace is obtained through prayer and sacrifice, which yeah. is the message of Our Lady of Fatima.
Right.
Many souls can be saved if you'll just pray and make sacrifice. Yeah. And the prayer she recommended was the Holy Rosary. So,
well, Gabriel, thank you so much.
Father, it's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Keep up the great work. You're an apostle.
I'm trying my best. Yeah. Thank you so much. God bless you.
The Church's tradition, the saints, the popes, many popes have spoken about the importance of praying the Rosary. The Rosary is the most beautiful and the richest of all prayers to the Virgin Mary. It is the prayer that touches most the heart of the Mother of God, and that's St. Pius X. St. Francis de Sales, Doctor of the Church, I advise you as earnestly as I can, I even adjure you, not to allow a single day to pass without reciting the Rosary, which is most pleasing to God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we have Our Lady herself at Lourdes and Fatima asking for the Rosary to pray it every day. You know, according to our state in life, whatever we can do in this area, but to pray, to have this devotion to her, opens us up to the grace of God. I heard one writer said recently that, you know, she can't help us. And when we pray the Rosary, we're allowing her to help us. We're opening our hearts that we can receive grace that flows through her from Christ. And she helps us to make that surrender, to open ourselves to the Lord. I think about that surrender, that fiat she gave at the Annunciation, just that, let it be done to me according to thy word. She's not saying, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to do great things for you, Lord. She's just saying, Lord, I give you permission. I surrender. I say yes. Isn't that such a model for us? To keep telling God yes. To have that acceptance for things in our life, the crosses that we have, the difficulties. To have that faith that God will use them to transform us, to make us holy, and that it can help others as well. Because when we pray under the burden of that cross, it's powerful. When we're suffering and we pray for others, powerful things happen. And the really, really good news is that when we're suffering our crosses, Mary is there with us, standing at the foot of our cross as well to help us. So I send you that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
These eyes have seen Him die. These eyes have seen Him rise. He cast away my sin. By the saving grace of God, it is Christ who changed my life. And I have seen the Lord, I have seen the Lord. He's no longer dead, He is risen. I have seen